And it will beat you down, and you will feel like, hey, I won't be able to break through, but I'm a testament to that consistency and that perseverance, and those doors will open.
Welcome back to Tech Life, a podcast to help you feel less stressed and more focused to calm the chaos of consulting. Let's be inspired by the possibility that we can be happier by doing less in an industry obsessed with constant optimization. I'm your host, April Rest. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Welcome back to the Tech Less podcast. I'm your host, April Rest, and today we are chatting with Darius Tracy. Darius is a career transitioner who comes from a manufacturing background, found Salesforce, and totally fell in love with the software. Although his background isn't tech traditional, he's been able to leverage it into freelance consulting in the Salesforce nonprofit space, and he uses that drive to transform his life and motivate many others along the way, which I love, because if there's one thing that I know about you, Darius, is that you're always looking to see who else you can help along the way. So welcome.
Thank you for having me, April. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yay. So Darius, you've been in the Salesforce industry for a little over a year and a half. Tell us, like, what was that transition like? What interests you in exploring the Salesforce ecosystem in the first place? Just give it to us.
Absolutely. The transition has been quite the adventure, April. It's as you spoke about, I come from a manufacturing background. So essentially as far away from tech as you could possibly be. A lot of dirty warehouses and steel toe boots, if anybody out there can relate to that type of lifestyle. Saw a ceiling in that particular industry. I kind of looked around one day and as much as I love and respect the individuals that do that type of work, there is a definite ceiling. And I just wanted more. So, while doing that, kind of found out about Trailhead and end up joining Talent Stacker and kind of just really learning more about the Salesforce software and platform, and just did a dope head first all the way in.
Oh, I love that. And I know now it's a really difficult time to break into the Salesforce industry. Even a year and a half ago was a very difficult time to break into the industry and to find work.
Absolutely.
It's no longer enough just to have that certification. How'd you do that? What was your strategy? What was your process?
And you're absolutely right. Even at that time, it was very difficult. And I see that sentiment. I talk to so many great people in the ecosystem now who are kind of going through the same thing. For me, it was really engaging with the community in a really impactful way. The old cliche of your network is your net worth and different things like that. I really didn't understand the importance of that until I got into the ecosystem. So really just leveraging relationships in a way to where, you're able to give back and you're able to highlight other people that are doing great things. And I think I'm just a firm believer in if you live your life that way, it kind of reciprocates back to you. So I've been fortunate enough to reap a lot of those blessings from just, just being active in the community and kind of engaging and showing a genuine interest and curiosity in the space. And that has opened a lot of doors that, unbelievable doors and great relationships and friendships and other things like that. So one of the key things that I always tell people is to don't pay attention to the outside noise. You're going to hear a lot of different things about there's no jobs, there's no opportunities, the market is oversaturated, all these different headlines that are catchy. And although they may apply to the overall dynamic of the ecosystem or the job market, for me, if you stay focused on your path, on increasing your skill set and just running your own race, the rest kind of takes care of itself.
I'm just taking a breath to let it all sink in. that's something that I'm working on is how about I let the April inside of me tell me what I'm going to do instead of 50 billion different voices that don't know me, don't know my desires, my talents, my values.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh. And it's so many uber talented people that I think suffer from that. And if we're going to be quite honest about it, learning the technical aspects is, I mean, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's the lighter side of the equation. I think it's managing the mental game and really managing the other things that come along with being a Salesforce professional or a consultant that is a challenge for most. So I talked to some of these people and they're amazing. I'm like, you're not confident about your skill set. You're not confident about what you bring to the table. Especially someone for me who came zero talent, barely knew how to turn a computer on, and hasn't been able to leverage certain things. So that mental game is the key.
Yeah. And this is really interesting for me because almost my whole career has been in consulting. And so I don't have too much else to compare it to. Curious, like, because, you know, with, like you're mentioning, manufacturing being so different, although in some ways I think the business process could be similar, but I digress. What my question is for you is what is your perspective on the demands and the pressure in the Salesforce/consulting ecosystem?
I think the demands are constant. The pressure is constant. As everybody's familiar with, this is a super fast moving space with a lot of dynamic elements to the space where things move quickly, things change quickly, and you have to be able to navigate those different requirements. And you know, if you're on the client facing side, client personalities and some of the other things. So, I mean, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to stay focused and manage all the different things that come at you at one time. But I think, again, just going back to giving yourself that time away from the space to decompress in your own personal way and find different elements of the task that are exciting or challenging and just kind of spark your interest. So, yeah, see, it's when they say drinking from a fire hose, I've definitely experienced that and probably still experiencing that to this point. So it's exciting and challenging.
You touched on something, though, that is so important to me. And I think that our listeners probably care a lot about, or probably should care a lot about, and that's finding how to decompress. What's your go-to for that?
I enjoy physical activity. I think that's my anchor. So I enjoy going running outdoors. I enjoy exercise, weightlifting, just different things like that to really allow yourself that free time. And inside of that free time, away from the constant demands of the consulting space, I'm able to just give myself an hour, 30 minutes, 45 minutes of nothing, of being present in nature, of really just being focused on some physical activity that's going to help me grow and revitalize my energy in a way that when I return back to the task, I'm in a better space than I may have left. So that's my little escape, physical activity and the outdoors.
I'm conjuring up this park I like to go to that's only 5 minutes away from where I work. I like to take my lunch there and just like look at the water and look at the birds. So that resonates with me. I know everybody has their own thing, but I think just finding that time throughout the day can just be so helpful. Even if it's 10 minutes, it can be so helpful.
Even if it's 10 minutes, like you said, even if it's just 10 minutes to give yourself that gift, we're constantly in front of screens. We're constantly looking at screens. So be able to walk outside and you know, I'm a big AirPod guy, but take your AirPods out, listen to the birds chirp a little bit, get some of the sunlight on you, and like I said, that's been able to revitalize me and put me back in the game. So once I return, I can kind of put that best foot forward.
I love this. Oh, I love this. And I wanted to go back to what you mentioned about networking because it seems like, and I've fallen into this trap of work is going good, like I'm liking my job, you know, yada yada, whatever. And I might not put as much energy out into building a personal brand or connecting with people on LinkedIn, or going to events, you know, and it's like, well, people have told me like you probably should still be doing that no matter where you're at with like with your job. So I'm curious, like I know for you and I see you're all over the LinkedIn and you've mentioned that networking has been so critical in, you know, finding your job and then recently after a layoff, getting back into, you know, back into work. Can you give us maybe just some tactical tips of how you approach that?
Absolutely. I think for me, LinkedIn is my medium. I don't really, I think consistency and being your authentic self kind of resonates. I think necessarily there's no template or there's no, you should say this or you should engage this way. I think if you bring your true authentic self, those posts kind of resonate. I've had other people ask me very similar questions and they're like, are you scripting your post or are you do you have your post scheduled and all these great strategies, which I think are great strategies, don't get me wrong. But I'm very transparent. I've shared different things with the community that other people may or may not have been as comfortable sharing, whether that be wins or losses. So I think that shows up and you can kind of feel a Chat GPT post versus a April or a Darius post. And I think in you know, in that particular realm, it kind of shines through. I would say be consistent. I owe that strategy to Bradley Rice. Just going through the Talent Stacker program, he kind of some of the blueprint material that he gave you about being consistent, about engaging impactfully and thoughtfully, and leading with the giving has been a great piece of the puzzle as well. So if you see someone with something you resonate with, share the post. If you see someone with that has something really insightful to say, engage and comment and you know, just try to build those solid relationships. I don't like the word networking. I think it's kind of cringy. I think building genuine friendships and relationships is a lot better of a strategy than the, you know, the guy in the suit with the business cards networking type of energy. So you know, you just want to be as genuine as possible. Me and you are here because of networking per se, but just developing a common interest and a genuine friendship, and it led to even this opportunity to do this podcast. So
My
again,
gosh.
just consistency and authenticity has been my little pieces of the puzzle.
I'm loving this so much. I wrote it down on my notebook.
Hey,
I go,
bring
network,
it.
building
Network is
genuine
out.
friendships. Network
Listen,
is out.
2024, we're getting rid of networking. It is cringy. We're not networking. We're building genuine
It is
connections.
cringy. It
Absolutely.
is. Oh my gosh. Because I've never understood, like, I love meeting new people and I love like forming new relationships. But if you're like, oh, do you want to go to networking happy hour? I'm like, no.
Right, right,
No.
right,
But if I
right,
look at it as, do you want to go like make some possible friends? Okay. I'm
right.
there.
Absolutely. So the way I
Oh, I
love to
love
look at,
that.
no, absolutely. The way I love to look at it is, we're friends who share a career path, and it just happens to be Salesforce, and that's been a good way for me to really engage in a more in a on a deeper level.
Yeah. No, I like, and I feel that too, because I was just thinking a few minutes ago, like, oh, I really want to come to Atlanta and meet you in person.
Absolutely. Come on down.
I want to be friends with you.
We got
I think we
love
only
to have.
talked about twice, two or
Right.
three times. Oh,
Right.
yeah. Oh, I love that. Oh, goodness, goodness. Let's see here. Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners?
Absolutely. If I had to share anything, it would be, again, I meet so many talented people who are far more talented than me, but I think a lot of the missing pieces of the puzzle is the confidence factor. I think imposter syndrome is really pervasive in the ecosystem right now. And just understanding that the outside noise is not, although that may be for this person or that person, your individual journey is your individual journey. So I know it sounds a little corny and a little hokey pokey pokey, but believe in yourself, people. You guys are amazing. Like I said, I can't believe the type of people I talk to with the type of skill sets that they have and just really understanding their value. The job market is tough. It took me, it was a point in time I was doing 10, 15, 20 applications a day to try to break through. And it will beat you down, and you will feel like, hey, there, I won't be able to break through. But I'm a testament to that consistency and that perseverance, and those doors will open.
I love this. I wish everyone could see me like all excited. Oh my gosh. And you said something and I had a question about it and it flew out of my brain. Oh, well, okay. It was about imposter syndrome. Have you experienced that?
100%, definitely. Yeah, I think we all do at some point in the game. I think, wow, and it's debilitating in a way. It is, I like, is this for me? I've had it in ways where maybe I should go back to my old industry because it seems that I'm not developing at some metaphorical timeline that nobody's even imposed on me, but I'm like, I'm not here by this particular point. So absolutely. Surrounding yourself with the right people. I love Jody Herbig. She is an amazing person, and I'll never forget, I was going through a massive bout of imposter syndrome, and she jumped on a call with me and do you know you're good? Do you know you're awesome? Do you know you're, and it's amazing how those little affirmations and positive things can get you back into a clearer mental picture, because at the end of the day, it's just a foggy picture of yourself, a disillusioned picture of yourself. It's not who we truly are, but absolutely, I think it affects all of us, and I've learned at every possible level. So people I look up to as well, experience it as well.
What do you think is a way to, I don't want to say overcome imposter syndrome because I'm not sure, at least for me, it's not a linear path. But maybe some ways to cope with imposter syndrome or some ways to integrate with those feelings. What advice might you have for that?
I think the thing that really helped me is remembering what you've done. So if you can look back and go over your journey of where you began when you didn't know what an object or a field was, and kind of correlate that to the point that you are now, it gives you a lot clearer picture of, I'm not here, I'm not there, I dropped the ball on this particular project. So just essentially just remembering the growth that you've had, the growth that you've experienced to get to this point in your career. It didn't happen overnight. You worked really hard, you studied really hard for a lot of exams, you've taken on a lot of projects, you've done a lot of great things. And I think putting that into the forefront of your mind kind of eliminates some of those feelings of not being enough.
I'm so curious. And I know I didn't prep you for this question.
Okay.
Do you have like a vision for the impact you want to have on this world?
Wow, that's a great question. Wow. Absolutely. If I had to impact, I think people who come from a challenging background, I think people who may have felt like life only offered certain elements and their ceiling was very low. I would love to be a sort of testament that you can break through, you can do more. Just people who feel unheard, unseen. There's more. And if I could, if when I leave this earth, I want to be able to say, I gave it my best. I gave
Oh, I'm having chills because I see your story and I see your genuine, like your vibe and your energy. Helping so many people feel inspired to take the action. I think in some regards that can be the most difficult part is breaking those narratives that we've told ourselves year after year. Oh, I have of like 20 different ideas, and I know we don't have too many more minutes left, so we'll have to do a follow-up.
Right, absolutely.
Oh my goodness. Goodness gracious. Well, something that I like to ask everyone on these conversations is whether you have a favorite quote.
Let's see. I was just listening to something the other day from the late great Kobe Bryant. I'm a big sports and basketball fan. But one of Kobe's favorite things that he would love to say is rest at the end, not in the middle. And I try to apply that to my personal life just to be consistent with discipline and other things that, become overwhelming. A lot of times we're like, I need a break. And you do. And you should take care of your mental health in that way. But each one of us kind of knows what our bar is and what we can take and what we can't take. So I like that particular quote because it reminds me to rest up against that bar and just keep pushing. So mama mentality.
Thank you for sharing with us.
Absolutely.
And Darius, if people want to learn more about you, if they want to check out more of what you have to say, where can they find you?
I'm really active on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is usually the place where I am daily. Feel free to inbox me, connect with me, engage with me. That's pretty easy to find. I'm everywhere on the platform. So if you're looking for me, I'm probably in the LinkedIn neighborhood.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me, April. I really enjoyed it.
Me too. Oh, I love it. Yay.